say. Okay, we're praying, right? And we're asking God, because like we're saying, Lord, we know by your stripes we're healed. We know that if any are sick among you, you know, James 5:13 to 5:15, and it says, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if two of you shall agree on earth, and we're saying, Lord, we know these things, and we've seen you already heal him, and then it's coming. So why is this not happening? And so we ask God, why is he not keeping his healing? And Brother Glenn got a word from God, and that was?
It was a test.
And so then Brother Wayne asked him, so what's that test?
What kind of test it was, and I felt like God said that it was a test for us to practice resisting the enemy together.
Exactly, and that was the word I got, was teamwork. And see, God wants us to be a body. That's what God has been trying to do here for a long time. It's not just being a church, and we all go to church on Sunday, and then we all go live individual lives. God's wanting us to be a family of Christ, the body of Christ, to care one for another, to love one another. When you look in the New Testament, in Acts, it says they spent time together. They went from house to house, and it didn't mean they were doing a scavenger hunt. It meant that, you know, looking for stuff. What it meant was they spent time together. They prayed together. They read their Bibles together. They worshiped together. They witnessed to their neighbors, their families, their friends. They did things together. They cared. They ate together, the Bible says. They all came in one accord with what was going on in that church. It says that they, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It's like they came into unity. They came into a body. And that's what we want to be. The world, when we look at it, do you think the way America runs and the way things are, is this the way God meant it to be? Maybe I'm talking to you. Do you think? No? Okay. Do you think the world's the way it should be? I mean, should things be going on out there that are going on? Is that the way God designed it to be?
No.
Well, do we just want to be like everybody else? Because you can go fit. You might not like where you end up, but you can go fit. But see, I want to be like Jesus, and I want what Jesus has, and I want Jesus' way, whether everybody else does it or not. And so we want to lift up our brother. We anointed him with oil. We prayed for him. We asked. God said, it's a test. God said, it's supposed to be a number of us praying for him, whatever. What was
resisting.
The attack of the enemy. You see, the devil doesn't just want to, he doesn't just go away. He'll go away at that moment. But if you look in the life of Jesus, when he got baptized, when he went out into the desert, he got baptized, then he went out into the desert, led of the Spirit. You look in like Luke chapter 4, he was tempted of the devil for 40 days. Well, what ended up happening was it said that as Jesus resisted him with the Word of God, it said the devil left him for a season. The devil doesn't just give up. He doesn't just go away. One good thing you could say about him is he's persistent.
Every Monday morning.
Yeah. Every Monday morning.
So every Monday morning. I was just going to say, it's funny because like, I can't be a little funny, but I'm blaming it on coming to church here because every Monday morning this happens. So he keeps coming back and coming back and coming back.
And that's what happens. And the Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. There's a principle there about that we have to persevere. We have to keep believing. You know, have you ever believed for something and it seemed like you got the answer and then you lost it? Like maybe you got healed about something, but then you lost it? It's because we don't persevere. And that's part of what God is wanting us to do. But another thing is God's wanting this. God's wanting teamwork. God's wanting people to be willing to care about others. I'm trying to think of where that verse is. I think it's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. I believe that's where it is. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And so, maybe it's verse 3. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We've got to bear one another's burdens. Let that become... How would you want somebody to pray for you if this was happening to your face was all swollen up in your eye, you couldn't see out of it? How would you... Would you want others to pray for you? Would you want others to care for you? That's what we need to do. That's what Jesus is wanting to do with us, is take us beyond ourselves. One thing about Jesus is He's others-minded. One thing about being devilish is being selfish and not caring about others. God is wanting to take us into a deeper place of caring for one another, believing for them, praying for them, lifting them up when we're not around Him. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Well, we need to get beyond that and get a little more mature than that. What do you think?
Amen?
Amen? That's what God's wanting?
It's like it's on a Sunday when we come in here, and God's got all the seed that He wants to plant into us. And then it's like being born again, you know, the seed that's been planted into us. It's Satan's coming to seek, kill, and destroy. And he's after that seed on the Monday morning. But he's not going to stop on Monday. He's going to go throughout the week. So we need to be on our knees. We need to be in our homes. We need to be calling one another. Yep. We need to be others' mind of others, you know. It's not just that. We need to be continuously oneness with one body. One Christ, right. A headship.
Right.
And if we're with that, and if we get into the prayer life that we need to be in this body here, you'll see mighty wonders come.
Amen. Amen. Every single day, I end up preaching everywhere I go. I witness. So when I come to church, or before I come to church, and I'm praying and saying, "God, what would you like to do this week? What would you like to do today?" And he's being blank with me, then I figure that he's, like last week, he's gonna move on other people, or he's got something else. So what I want us to do, there's two things about this church. What kind of church are we? Okay. What do we say we are? A relationship church. You remember what other kind of church we are? Training center. What else? How about a waiting church? I remember when we were in the last building, I won't forget that. This guy came in before church, and he sat down. And if this was the building, he was sitting over there. And I walked, we were in the office praying, some of us, and God told me, he said, go out in the worship area. And I went out there, and there was this guy I'd never seen before, and God said, go talk to him. Or he said, go listen to him, basically. So I went over there and I said, "Hi, how are you?" And the man started talking, and he said, "What kind of church is this?" And I said, "It's a waiting church." And he said, "Oh, I don't like waiting." I said, "Then you won't like it here." I said, "Then you won't make it, because we want to wait on God. We don't want to just do what we're doing. It's not an entertainment center. You can go turn your TV on and get entertained. It's about waiting on God and finding out what He wants to do." So, I don't know if you were around. Some of you were. But when we first started this church, you remember what used to happen, Wayne, when we first started this, Tana? What did we used to do when we first started? Yep. Like, for how long? Okay. When we first started this church, we used to just say, because I asked God, see, I was ordained Baptist, and I did Baptist churches all over the country, and this is our 10th one we've started from scratch, and we would do all these Baptist churches. But God started dealing with me and bringing me to say, "Harvey, I want you to be my man, not a denominational man." And I'm like, "Okay, so what does that look like? What do you want me to do?" And He said, "What I want you to do is," He said, "I want you to let this be my church." And I said, "Well," because so often if I go to a preacher's fellowship, or if I go somewhere, the preacher always calls it his church. Well, this isn't my church. It's my church because I go here, but it's not my church because I'm the leader. It's God's church. And whatever He wants is what we want. So when we started this, Well, he told me, he said, can you imagine what church would be like if I was really in charge? And I said, no, Lord, I've been in a lot of services where you showed up and who's ever in control said, okay, that's enough of God now. Let's get back to our bulletin. Let's get back to our little program. And I said, I can't imagine what church would be like. And he said, would you let me do it? And I said, I don't have a clue how to do it. I said, just teach me. And in the beginning, what he said was, I want you and your wife to come get in my presence for about 2 or 3 hours before church starts. I mean, I'm talking about getting in his very presence. He's right here. You can feel his breath. You can reach out and touch his face. And he said, and then I want you to teach the people how to come get in my presence. But to get in God's presence, it's like I've told you this, the illustration of going to Outback Steakhouse. You ever been there? You want to, if you're already full, by the time I get through eating the blooming onion, the hot bread, the big salad with double stuff in it, and not just fill it with a bunch of lettuce. Yes, go give that to the rabbits. Okay, ain't no good for me. Give me the good stuff. And then I get the steak and the side, you know, the potatoes and the other stuff. And then they come up to me afterwards. Yeah, vegetables, the good stuff. They come up to me afterwards every time and they say, would you like dessert? And my answer every time is, where would I put it? I'm full. Well, if we come to church full of matter, if we come into our life or before God full of matter, we're full of what we just talked about on the way here. We're full of our bills, thinking about going to work tomorrow, thinking about what a bad day we had on Friday, thinking about, you know, the neighbors. We're full of matter. If we come here and we're full, how can God get in? And so often, and you can ask the worship group this, we have our 70, 80 people sitting out here, and they start trying to do the worship, and people, it takes them 30 minutes to an hour to get into God. Seems like that a lot of times. And because people aren't cooperating, they got looks on their faces. I tell them, if you stand up front, you need to find a friendly face. Don't look at all the faces. I said, look at them, find a friendly face. And then when that friendly face, you just zero in on that one. Because if you look at some of them, Jeremiah, I think it's 1:7, it says, 1:7 or 1:9, it says, don't be afraid of their faces. Well, I've preached in big crowds, and man, I find friendly faces, and I look at those. Because if I look around, sometimes I'm wondering, why are they giving me this look? You know? And it's like, it may not have nothing to do with me. They're mad at their wife or something, you know? I don't know, you know? Maybe the dog bit them on the way out. I don't know. But so I'm helping you today to understand, we need to ask God, God, teach me how to get empty. Ready? Of self, sin, Satan, the world system, and my stinking thinking. God, teach me how to get empty and get where I'm focused on you, I'm worshiping on you. Can you imagine if everybody came to church? You know how like the best, the highest you get in God when you're here? Imagine if you came and started service like that. Imagine if you started your day like that. See, that's where we're trying to get you. Because this isn't like a one shot for the week. You come to church and you get a shot. Okay, I got my God shot. And then about Monday or Tuesday, you go to work and people, or you just get out there on the road and, you know, people don't realize it's my road and they drive like they do, you know? And then you lose your joy because you don't know, because you're not, you haven't learned maybe how to stay in His presence, how to deal with things instead of you carrying them, give them to Daddy. Remember? Our Father, which art in heaven. You're the little boy. You're the little girl through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. You got born again. You got birthed in the family of God. Now you're His little daughter or son. He doesn't have its. He has daughters and sons. Okay? He doesn't. Adam and Eve. No Adam and Steve. Okay? It's God has daughters and sons. And you are one or the other. And He wants you to learn everything that comes to you. You see, we've been taught to try to be strong for God. Well, if you're strong in any area, then God can't be strong in that area of your life because you're dependent on yourself. If you think you already know something, if I try to help somebody to do a roof and they go, I already know. I see they're doing something wrong. That's why I wanted to say something. But they already know. I can't help them. They're full of their own conceit. They're conceited. They're full of themselves. And I can't help them. It doesn't mean I know everything, but at least consider what I'm saying. Be open. Are you with me? Anybody else have something you want to say here? Okay. Or you just want to snicker. Okay, go ahead.
It's like, who are we created in? The image of God.
Right.
And if we let anything else that's not the image of God within us, then we're letting stuff in it that ain't the image of God.
Right.
So we need to be checking out in our minds what's coming in our thought. Because our thoughts is where the devil's going to come in. And once he gets his foothold in, he's going to explode in on us. That's what he does on the Monday morning throughout the week. But yet, if we just keep our focus that we are the image of God. We are the image of God. We are His creation. We are the best of the best.
That's why the devil hates you.
And, right. That's right. That's right. And if we just keep all the other images out, we'll be all right.
That's right. So it's learning how to live in His presence. Not just visit His presence on Sunday. But how do we live in His presence every day? How do we walk with God? There's a song, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I am His own and the joy we share as we tarry there. That word means to wait. No other has ever known. It's hanging out with Jesus. It's knowing how to walk with Him, how to hear His voice, how to spend time with Him. When I get hurt, I told you the other day, some customer said something to me that was pretty rude, pretty nasty. and then he hung up on me. I mean, when he said it, I just kind of was like, okay, God bless you, because I've learned, bless those that curse you and abuse you and do all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And so when somebody says these things, a lot of times I'll just say, God bless you, you know, because I want to bless them. I don't want to have revenge and anger and retaliation in my heart. So I bless them. And then the person hung up on me. And I was just standing there because they had just told me this over the phone. And I was standing there and I was like, kind of like, I was trying to say and do all these things that God has told me and or that I know truths. But it wasn't helping. So finally I said, Daddy, would you... That hurt. That hurt what that person said. Daddy, would you come heal my heart? Would you come and kiss my boo-boos? Would you come and hold me? And within seconds, He just washed over me with His love. He just took the pain. Because Jesus already took our pain. But we have to give it to Him. See, what Jesus did is available to everybody. But is everybody going to heaven? I'm sorry?
No.
So everybody's not going to heaven. But what Jesus, He died for them, didn't He?
Yes.
But every day, the multitude of people that die, the majority of them go to hell. Because what Jesus did is available, but it's not applicable. In other words, it doesn't apply to this individual if they don't receive that. So when you're hurt, you need to come to God He wants to be known as the Comforter. When you have, when you're sick, He wants to be your healer. But we have to come to Him, depend on Him, ask Him, do it His way, not do it our way and start quoting a bunch of verses and telling Him what He's got to do. That's just telling us what's available. You know? Do you understand? It's about how do I live in His presence? How do I depend on Him? He's my daddy. I'm the little boy. So I just want to hang out with Him. And when I find myself, I don't have peace, I start worrying, I'm hurting, I realize I'm trying to do it on my own. Okay, parents, have you ever had a child that maybe they got hurt and you go to hug them and they stiffen up on you? Have you ever had that? I'm not going to ask you what you felt like doing, because they would feel it more if you did what you felt like doing. Okay? But what they're really doing is they're resisting love, healing, empathy, compassion. They're resisting. If you look in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. People forsaking their own mercy. That child stiffening up and not letting you hug them, comfort them, minister to them. Is that sometimes what we do with God? Is we try to stiffen up. We try to, maybe somebody's ultra religious and they try to be good for God. You can't be good for God. The Bible says there's none good except Jesus. There's none good. You can't be good for God. Our salvation depends on what Jesus did, not what we do. It's a gift. We don't earn it. And you don't get better because you get saved. Now you're just forgiven. And now God comes to live inside of you. And the goodness in you is God in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that it's not us being better. It's us having a goal. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you. I want more of you to come live in me. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. Less of my way, more of your way. Less of my thoughts, more of your thoughts. Less of my reactions, more of yours. So I got to depend on you, Lord. I'm dependent on you. If you don't show up, I'm going to die. You see? I've got to have you. Anybody have anything they want to say? Because I just feel like God wants us to wait. But I feel like it's because there's, like last week, there was other people that God had come forward and God was filling them up. And there's at least one in here I know that God has put stuff in, and I'm wondering if that one is supposed to speak. I've got all kinds of stuff to say, but I don't want to just say stuff. I've got all kinds of stuff to say, but I don't want to just say stuff. I only want to say what God wants. I don't want to get in His way. This isn't about Harvey preaching. This is about Jesus. Jesus being seen. Jesus being exalted. Jesus being experienced. And Jesus becoming our closest friend. Where we just, I've got to have Jesus. I can't make it without Jesus. So, I'm just going to, when we started this church, I'm going to do what we did when we started this church. He said, I want you to come get in my presence. I want you to teach others how to get in my presence. And then when church starts, Harv, understand, I'd already preached all over America, already started a bunch of other churches, 9 other ones. And he said, when church starts, he said, as the leader, he said, I am the authority. He said, I ordain authority, and then I position authority. I put you in authority. He says, but I gave you authority. I'm not going to undermine your authority, Harv. I'm not going to come and step over what you're doing. He said, I'll go as far as you let me go. He had to teach me that as I went around the country preaching. I kept wondering why he got loose in different ways in different churches. I kept thinking it was me. He said, it's not you. He said, it's them. I know. It was a hard lesson for me to learn. I had to go through it a lot of times to get that lesson. And then God said, now, when you start church, Harv, what I want you to do, He said, if you want me to come as the leader, I want you to invite me, welcome me, and then as the leader, take the hat off and give it to me. Let me run church the way I want. That's why we don't ever have two services alike. That's why it's never the same. But it's also about because each one of us, okay, He's wanting each one of us to learn how to live this way. It's not just formula. It's not just going to church like around America that we have. And we all know a bunch of knowledge, but America's going to hell in a hurry. America's a heathen nation. 85% of church membership isn't even saved in America. It's not just about knowing about God or going to a building. That's why I said we're not a collection center, just trying to get people in a building. It's about those that do come, teaching them how to live Jesus, how to know Jesus, how to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus, and then how to love others to Jesus. That's our goal. That's our whole goal here, those three things. To know Jesus Christ personally, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus 24/7, and to love others to Jesus. Now, if you've got a different goal, it's not going to work here, because that's going to be our goal. It's to get others to Jesus. Now, are you glad that that's our goal?
Yes.
I know it. And there's a number, R. So I'm going to just wait. I'm just going to say, God, what do you want to do? And just stand here and wait like we used to. When we started this, I used to say, God, and I would say that same prayer just about every Sunday. And I would say, God, we're waiting on you. And then I would just stand there. So you pray right now. Let's just pray. Close your eyes. Close your little peepers. Okay? And let's just pray. God, what are you doing? What do you want to do today? Do you know God can talk to you? You can hear God. He talks to you every single day. He's wanting you to know, learn how to listen to Him and hear Him and realize it's His voice. God, what do you want to do right now? What are you wanting to say? What are you wanting to do? We're waiting on you. Jesus, right now, what's on your mind? What's on your heart? Right now. What are you wanting to do right now, Jesus? You are worth waiting for. We're waiting on you, Jesus.
He has told me I've given this to you. You do have to say something. But it's not me saying something. It's me yielding so He can say something. He wants you to hear something. What's going on is to go along with what Harvey's talking about. God has given all of us a freedom of a free will. And He wants us to take that freedom of that free will to choose Him. And to make the right choices. And not to make the choices of the world, not to make the choices that we come up with, but to seek Him for the choices that He has, to seek Him for what He wants. He is our Creator. He created us all for one purpose, and that's His purpose. That's to fulfill His plan, to become His family. He loves us so much more than we can even fathom in our little pea-brain minds sometimes, you know. But it's just so wonderful that God has called us His family. But yet it's that choice that we have to make every moment, every second of every day, that we choose Him in any way He wants us, anywhere He wants us, to be in that perfect place of the body where we are completed. We're not completed until we're in our perfect place. We're just like Steve said, we're just complacent, you know. We're not in the right place of the body. We all have a purpose in God's body, in His life. And that's to choose what He chooses. I choose to choose Jesus and all that He has for me. I am not my own. He has purchased me. He has created me for this time, for what we are living in. And these are getting close to end times. So we just need to choose Him for what He wants. We are His. We are His creation. We are His jewels. We are the best of the best. So why don't we? And He give us the best of the best. He give us His Son, Jesus. He did all He could do for us. So what more could we not do but to give Him all of our choices? God Almighty. God Almighty. God Almighty. I just love You so much. I just want to choose You for what Your purpose is in my life. I am incomplete without my completeness. And it only comes from You. It can't come from a man. It can't come from something in this world. It's a gift that God has. It's the fulfillment of Him in my life. In me and His body and Him as my headship. That's what God wants from all of us. To be oneness with Him. And each other. And if we're not, then we got too much strife. Too much room for everything else to come in and seek and kill and destroy us. The whole body needs to come into oneness. The bride needs to be prepared and brought together. God is coming for us. Are we ready? Are we getting ready? Are we like Him? Do we have that likeness? Do we look in that mirror image of Him and see Him? Or do we still have some junk in our trunk that needs to get out? We need to honestly and wholeheartedly check ourselves and see where we're at with God. Ask Him how He sees us. Just like this card says. Just like this card that we have every day that we can take it to Him. Would you read that?
Please reveal to me who You really are and what You are truly like. Because I really want to know You. Not who the world says You are, not who I think You are through a smorgasbord of different religious beliefs, but since You are real, please come and reveal Yourself to me in any way You want. I really want to know You. Father, please reveal to me how You personally see me, think about me, and feel toward me, and what Your plans and dreams and hopes are for my life. You want the third one? Okay.
But that's my hope is for His plans, His dreams, His purpose for me to be fulfilled so that my brothers and sisters can find Him through me. And that it's not that He uses me. I choose for Him to work through me. And that's what we need to do is choosing. He's looking for the choosing generation, the choosing people. He's already chosen whosoever. So He needs us to choose Him so that He has the true family of God that chose Him. And that's what God wants. And that's what He wanted to say. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses that I thought of while he was saying that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple or the housing of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Do you know what you were bought with? The blood of Jesus. It says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, or because of this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We've been bought. We sold ourselves into sin. And God came and bought us back. And in Romans, in chapter 8, in verse 31, it's another verse made me think of. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?"
go ahead and get excited. Act like you're going to live forever. We're waiting on you, Jesus. You are so awesome, Lord. You are so awesome. You are worthy.
I got a couple of things I'd like to say. I felt kind of guilty maybe the last 3 months about not sharing how much God has given me in the last 4 years. That he's confirmed his word, that it's a truth to me. It's been the truth. It'll always be the truth. But to me, he's revealed it to my life. And I said, why am I so reluctant to get up here with this microphone thing? And he just answered that. He said, because Don wants to hear his voice. I've heard my voice, and it's got me in bad places. I've listened to what Don has told Don. I need to listen to what God tells Don. And for the last 4 years, I've shared with Harvey and Sue how many confirmations, how many ways that God had to reveal to me. And it wasn't simple stuff. It was complicated because I had complicated things in my life. Because I thought I knew and I could recite the word and I knew the word, but it wasn't truth to me yet. And it's become alive, like it says. So the word lives now in me, where it was always there, always the truth, always alive. But I was dead. So now you become that new birth creature, okay? Because every week I fill up notebooks full of stuff. Some of the stuff that I got just from today is that preparing to worship, that Sunday is for praise, worship, and rest. That's God's day. Monday through Saturday is our burdens and cares to bring to him. To deal with that stuff, you know, then. It's to care about others on Sunday. You pray for the world that we live in, the rest of the church, like we once for Nate. It's not about Don today. It's about God today. What's God's burdens and cares today? It's about he told me about the baptism of John before Jesus. The baptism of John was preparing the way for Jesus, for our salvation. Now we got it easier. We got the baptism like we did today of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to direct us in our path. They didn't have that before. So John's baptism, you know, was to prepare the way for us. So that's just some.
When I say this is a training center for ministers, one of the things that I mean by that is that God has told me is if you go to most churches, the majority of people, the way we used to say it is 90% of the people sit and 10% of the people do the work or minister. Well, are you born again? If you are, raise your hand. Okay. Now, you ready? If you're born again, that means that Jesus' Spirit lives inside of you. That means that you are a part of the body of Christ. Does Jesus need crutches? Does he need glasses? Does he need hearing aids? So every part of Jesus works, correct? Are you part of his body? Is anybody getting a clue? This is a place where we are taught, hopefully encouraged, and hopefully have a place, a platform to move into, letting God begin to flow through us. Maybe we're going to volunteer to, you know, feel like God wants us to go work with kids, or, you know, go work with the worship group, or help take up offering, or set up chairs, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to be praying. Maybe you're one person that God moves on you. I ask people this whenever God brings it to my mind. I ask people, do you pray for others? And they, whenever I ask it, they always say, yeah. I said, do you know? I said, I believe God's telling me you're an intercessor. And a lot of them don't even know what that word is, even though it's in the Bible. An intercessor is one that God moves on to pray for other people or other situations. But it's normally other people. That is a huge ministry, is to pray for others. I pray for you as God leads me. I pray for each one of you individually as God moves on my heart. But there's some people that their whole thing is just, that's what they do. Now me, I'm an outward person. My wife is a quiet, shyer person. Y'all don't think so because, you know, God's got her out of her box, you know what I mean? And y'all see her up here and she'll preach and she'll lead and she does the things that she does. But me, I'm like this outward. I want to go out and reach people. I mean, every day, I'm like a bumblebee or a butterfly. I'm out pollinating the flowers. Here, I'm going to pollinate the little Wayne flower, you know. I'm going to pollinate the little Nate flower and hug on. Whatever God tells me, I'm going to go out there. And it's like I've never met a stranger. That's what I do. But my wife, it's almost like torture if she thinks she has to go out from her house or Janiah's house or Myers, you know. Those are the three places. I mean, now the other day she did say to me, Harvey, I really like spending your money, so I like to go shopping, okay? So she does like doing that. But for the most part, she's like this, she stays at home, she painted all these paintings, she writes stories and books, she has notebooks like this. Like, I bet there's somewhere between 150, 200 of these notebooks just filled with God and Scripture and visions and dreams. She shares them with me anytime that I give her time. This morning, Harvey, could I share with you? By all means, I want to hear. Sometimes she can't because my tub glaze phone is ringing. Like every other day, okay? It's ringing. But what I'm saying is she wants to share. Why? Because she spends time in the presence of God. She likes to get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, which I don't like at all, and spend time with God. She says it's quiet, and she just likes to spend time with God. And she hears God, and God tells her stuff, and He tells her stuff for individuals, and your situations in your life. We pray about you, and we care about you, and she hears specific things. I just will pray whatever God tells me, but God gives my wife a lot of words for different ones of you. And it's because we care. We have told God, look, I don't want to live my life. We look around this world and we see the way most people are living and they're miserable. They don't fulfill their potential, what they were put here for. And we told God, I remember when I met Jesus, I said, Jesus, You know, I just love you. I want to give you my life. And Harvey, all I want is you. And I'm like, why would you want me? You know, like, I talk too much. I'm proud. All these things that are wrong with me. Why would you want me? And he says, Harvey, because I delight in you. I made you on purpose with a purpose. And you know what? I had told God, I had said, I didn't want to live on this planet. Because when I looked at most people's lives, I looked at my folks. They fought, argued, they divorced. I looked at people around me. Everybody's miserable. They're trying to fill their lives with fun, what they call fun, but a lot of their fun was being smart mouth and cutting other people down and pulling jokes and tricks on them. And it's like that meant their fun was to hurt somebody else. And a lot of times that person getting hurt was me. And I didn't like it. And I said, I don't want to live on this planet. But I was afraid to leave this planet because I didn't know where I was going to go. And I had this feeling it wasn't going to be a good place because I didn't know Jesus. And then when I met him, it was like, whoa, this is what I want. I want Jesus. But I still don't want what everybody wants. I still don't want to live the way most people live, God, because when I look at their lives, what do they have that I want? What, they have money? Well, most of the rich people that I meet, and their lives are lacking. Their marriages are lacking. Their kids are lacking. They have money, but they're missing something. I just met a guy, did a job for him recently. Pretty well off. Every week, he's in probably two or three different countries because he works for Hewlett-Packard. Is that what it's called? HP. And he goes all over the world. And when I walked in his house, somehow God got loose. And the man is just... He said, Harvey, I mean, here's this guy in this... like Cascade or Ada, wherever it was, somewhere out there. East Grand Rapids, where I don't remember where he was, somewhere out that direction. And he is like, he says, I like everything you said, and I want to spend more time with you. And he doesn't know God from a chair. Okay? He doesn't know God yet. He may know about God. His wife goes to church and he tells the priest, I don't believe in this. I don't want nothing to do with it. But when I walked in his house, I didn't know all what he didn't want or believe in. I just let God poke a hole in my balloon and get loose. I walked in and God just like, here. And he just, that's it. God just like, go ahead. Okay, it's the Pillsbury Doughboy. And God just started getting loose all over this dude. And I'm not into religion. I'm not talking about religious facts. I'm talking about letting the life of Jesus flow. There was a verse I was looking for in, I'm trying to remember where it was. And it's in like, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14. And it said that if one comes in and... okay, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you, burning bush of a truth. You know? And it's like the principle there is that when people come in contact with the Spirit of God, the life of God, not religion, but the life of God, then they're like, God's in you. You know, like God's in this place. And they want to be where God is. And that's what people want, is they want to be where God is. You know? God, is there anything else you want to do today? Anything else? It's your time, your day, your people, your word, your spirit, your house. What would you like to do, Father? Thank you for Kenny. Thank you for each person in this place, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in us. And thank you for other people that want the things that we talk about, the things that we teach, and they seek to live that. And Lord, all the testimonies we hear and things that we see happen in their lives, thank you so much, Jesus. What else? What else do you want today, Father? Are we done? Or is there something else you want, Father?
I'm about to bust. I've been sitting back there reading these over and over again. I'm going, now, Lord? No. Now, Lord? He says, now. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. And then 4:13 in Philippians. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That was absolutely right. But we can't. But He can. And that's what He wants, is a relationship with us. A real relationship where we can tell Him anything. Where we can be open and honest. That's what He wants with each and every one of us. He wants to be all of our daddies. He wants to kiss our boo-boos. He wants us to lead us down the path we should go. He wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is Him. We give Him the praise and the glory for such a time as this. And we just thank You, Jesus.
He's wanting you to have a platform, a place where you can begin to let God move through you. If you make mistakes, sometimes people say stuff up here, or sometimes people do things here, and we make mistakes. We're not going to crucify you. I'm not going to beat you up. I've had people through the time we've been here that have come to me and said, I know I heard you say that, but when I did something and I messed up, I've been waiting and you've never called me in the office. You've never gotten on me. And I said, did you know you did what you did? And they go, yeah. And I said, well, did I need to go tell you, or did God deal with you? Well, God's dealing with me. I said, then why did I need to say something? They said, yeah, but the other churches we've been in, they did this and that. And I said, I know, I've had it done to me too. And when I kept having stuff happen to me as in my Christian walk, I said, God, why are they doing this? He said, I'm letting all these things happen to you so that when you start, when you're the pastor, He said, you're not going to do it to other people. You're not going to treat them the way you want to be, that they treated you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. So please pray for me, because I need your prayer. Because you know what? When we see something wrong in somebody, are you listening? Well, maybe we could end with this. When you see something wrong in somebody, if the devil shows it to you, why do you think the devil would show you something wrong in somebody? Criticize, condemn, complain. How about this? It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Every time the devil shows up, it's to steal, kill, or destroy. Do you hear me? So if the devil shows you something about somebody, he wants you to steal, kill, or destroy him. He wants to hurt the person. Okay? If God shows you something about somebody, if God shows you sin in me, why do you think God would show it to you?
Because we can do something about it.
Yeah, what can we do? If God shows you my sin, for example.
We can show that the way to
God. Okay, that's good. What else? Pray for them. Here's the way I heard it said. Any fool, who wants to be a fool? Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. But someone that is spiritual, someone that is like Christ, when they see something wrong in somebody, what if we pray for them? What if we pray, and you don't got to go and tell them what they did. You need to pray for them. Now, after you pray for them, God may have you after you've prayed for a while, so God can begin working in their heart. Have you ever gone to tell somebody their fault? And they don't see it. They want to argue. Be defensive. Nope. Nope. I've done that. Okay? So here's what I'm saying. Why don't you pray? Wait a minute, Maria. Let's pray that God would work in the person. Because guess what? God's the only one who can get away with nagging. It doesn't help when my wife nags. But when she prays for me and she's all kind to me and God tells her to go wash my feet or go cook my favorite meal, then that breaks my heart. Why? Because Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leads a person to repentance. Do you think this leads a person to repentance? Huh? See? That's exactly what we do. But when you pray, they can do that all day to the Holy Spirit, and He's going to get them. He's going to deal with them. But He's going to deal with them in such a way they can't escape it. Kill them with kindness. Okay? So let's pray for the people. When you see things in me, I'm talking about me. When you see things in me, pray for me. I don't want those sins in me. If I saw them, I don't want those things in me. So pray for me. Let's pray for one another. Remember that verse? I think it was, where did somebody look it up earlier when I quoted it? Galatians 6, I think it was verse 3. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you look up that verse? I think it's Galatians 6, verse 3, if I remember correctly. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to pray for other people. If they're sinning, they don't see it. God hasn't broken their heart about it yet. Their heart hadn't been broken about it yet. God, please break their heart. Please help them to see it through your eyes, God, so they'll hate it. They don't want it in their life. Self-righteousness, pride, arguing, selfishness. You understand? When you see that in somebody, just don't just complain and go talk about them. You want to talk about them, get on your knees. You ever heard the song? You can talk about me just as much you please. You can talk about me just as much you please. You can talk about me just as much you please. I'm going to talk about you down on my knees. All of my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. So you want to talk about somebody, do it on your knees. That will bring change that we'll be excited about. I love you. Isn't that cool? I love it when I get loved on. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.